If you hate the government, can you either do something about it or leave, please? 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 How can you hate everything? Are you gonna draw a damn anarchist sign on your palm?
Because I've been fucked with by aliens in my dreams.
What up, dietitians? Thank you for returning to the show. As always, I'm really glad that you could be here. And as always, I'm glad I'm still alive to be here. Because you never know what's going to go down when. More and more obvious every day. I never thought I'd ever wake up in a world where the Oakland Raiders are 0-9. I'm going to say it again, ladies and gentlemen. 0-9. I've lost my patience. I haven't mentioned it basically all fucking season. I was just trying to let it just be this passing gust of bullshit in the background, and I wasn't even going to address it. I was going to pull a scared chicken and just fucking let it just, I'm sorry, just not touching it. I was going to try to bust one of those. Never been good at that technique. And here it goes again. I'm 25. I'm going to try it again, and it's not fucking working. It's 0-9. And that issue has crept itself up to the foreground. So I have to deal with it now. And since I've obligated myself to be part of the public forum by committing to the show, now, unfortunately, it's your problem because I'm going to talk about it. Just for a little bit, though, because I already promised you, Jared, we're going to talk to Jared Manan. Actually, I already talked to him, but I got the whole thing recorded, believe it or not. So we're gonna check it out, and hope everyone who wanted to got a chance to go to ratprincelil.wordpress.com. I'm pretty fucking sure. Anyways, keep listening because later on in the episode, the actual legit, no bullshit web address, I'm gonna say it because I know it's unrecorded. So, anyways, yeah, keep listening. There was something else too. Oh yeah, I'm giving you a like mental or like it's not a mental disclaimer. I don't know why mental is the word. I'm giving you a fair notice. How's that? Giving the dietitians a fair notice that the next episode I upload is actually just a repeat episode. Social not working. It was the episode before the 90s one. I'm uploading that again because I took it down for some reason. And I'm going to put it back up. So if you already heard it, don't get too excited. A couple days from now, I'm going to upload that episode again. If you missed it, that's a good opportunity because it's going to... I'm coming out with it fresh again in a couple days from now. So check it out if you didn't get a chance to before. I think my voice just cracked. That's weird, though. I'm 25. Anyways, that's the fair notice. So don't get too super psyched that I'm uploading a new episode. It's just like a literally a refresh of the one. It's already been up. But my next real episode, you're going to meet Dr. Cody. We're going to get Dr. Cody on the show. And he's a cool dude. That's an understatement. Forget I said that. Pretend I didn't even say he's a cool dude. Like that says nothing about him. It might be true, but it really gives you no insight to Dr. Cody. So that's coming up too. That'll be pretty awesome for all the dietitians out there. And Jared's coming up in a few, but good God, I need to like. We got to discuss the Raiders first.
You are listening to the Strange Diet Broadcast. Keep it locked down every week for your own personal taste of Radio Liberty and subscribe on iTunes, the Windows Store, or your favorite web browser. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/strangediet for other subscription options and join the Dietitian Coalition.
We are talking about a franchise with a rich-ass history. I mean, like the best football has ever had. John Madden, Bo Jackson, Al Davis. Some of the most important things that have ever happened to football happened in Oakland. Some of it in LA. But basically, what I'm saying is it's all happened associated with the Oakland, or, you know, the Raiders franchise. This 0-9 shit, it makes no sense to me. It's some, like, end times shit, like signifying the end times shit. That would at least, like, I would actually accept that. That would at least make sense to me. Then I could, like, resolve this and, like, carry on and understand it was, you know, fate. It was some kind of, like, natural will that could not be avoided. At this point, I'm using every micron of intellect, reasoning, research, everything I got to try to make, like, try to sensify what's happening here, trying to, like, correlate it with my validity as a person, trying to, like, validate myself. Like, now I'm, like, I'm into these other deeper questions, like, things I love crumble. Everything I've ever loved just crumbles away. I love the Raiders. They're crumbling away right now. Of course, you know, the relationships, we can't get in. Well, this is not Oprah. I'm not going to talk about all that shit, but they crumble away. It's going deeper now because of this Oakland Raiders season. It's making me question basically the last 10 to 15 years of my life, you know. The relationships I've made in school, how have they crumbled? Is it because that's just, you know, school ends and that's what happens? Or am I, like, somehow, maybe it's my fault. What up, dietitians? We have fun here. Alright, Salvador Dali, Pablo Picasso, Vincent Van Gogh. Someone help me out here. What are some other people? Monet. I don't know his first name. What do all these people have in common? They're all dead. They're all famous. They're all dead. They're painters. Weren't you staying somewhere else for school?
Yeah, I went to a digital art school in Emeryville,
which is basically like the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's like it's pretty much like squashed in between Berkeley and Oakland.
Yeah, because I think I've driven through it every single time I've driven down to San Fran.
Yeah,
it's a small, like, dirty place, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep,
for sure. So, what do you think, Jared?
You can get art pretty much anywhere today, and half of it's just mass-produced, like IKEA art that you, like, pick up from, you know, anywhere. You get it from a TJ Maxx or a Marshalls or something, and, you know, even that's just, like, feeds right into the stuff of just how, like, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's just an image for your mind to occupy.
Like, when it comes from nowhere, pretty much, except for, like, a binary source, you know?
Yep.
Like, even, like, it's everywhere. I think I know what you mean. Like, something like this coffee mug right here. It's completely, like, clip art, like, graphic, like, slapped together.
Yep.
I picked up my video game, Madden. It's, like, it's mostly just text, fancy text, and, like, all these, like, logos are, like, just these geometric patterns with, like, no... There's no dynamic. There's obviously no emotion in it, is basically the word I can think of. And
yeah,
it's just getting tiring.
It is art in its own right. Just, I mean, in some people's, the way you can look, I mean, some people look at it as like somebody took time to make this thing, but I mean, somebody was being paid to do this and they have no investment in it. They literally are just trying to get their paycheck and making this font and putting this image on the video game cover, and you know, it's
and it's
not
almost
really...
like that's the goal for some artists, is where my conflict comes in. It's like where the purpose is. I mean, there's a million ways to make money. I just think that it's such a blasphemy to try to use like at least art solely for the purpose of that. Like, if you can make money doing art that like you really believe in, I think that's like extremely like, you know, important and like commendable. But when you're trying to use like a form, it's like any form of self-expression, even music. I think music's my favorite example. It's like, dude, I fucking heard that song. I could tell you're just trying to get paid. Like, that really bothers me. And I don't know if that connects with you at all, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of... I think for a lot of artists who are trying to actually survive as an artist and make a living, it's kind of really, you know, you got to pretty much be a rock star or, you know, accidentally kind of fall into, you know, something that people really like right now to actually make money off your own personal art that is just, you know, what you enjoy to do.
What kind of traps do artists fall into, like, if they just want trying to make money, you know what I mean? Because you were kind of like, well, if you're like a starving artist, you gotta like, you know,
right? Yeah, it's super easy. I mean, I personally what I have to do is I separate my work art from my personal art, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
My work art, I can't say I really enjoy doing. It's literally just, to me, like anybody else would be, like working like a, you know, almost like it, obviously it's not labor work, but you know, to me it's not pleasurable work a lot of times. I mean, in the end, like, I've gotten pretty lucky as far as some of the work I've done. I'm like working for the Monterey Bay Aquarium right now, designing like technology, like just these vehicles that are doing the deep sea research. They're like vessels that are all underwater, you know. It's kind of cool scientific stuff, so I mean that's more fun. But I mean, I hate looking at a computer screen all day. Well, and that's kind of what I'm forced to do. But on the flip side, it's really nice to be able to, you know, also know that I have a very, I have personal art that I can go do once I'm done with all my work, and it's so different and has no connection to me, really, mm-hmm. with my work. That is, you know, that I'm being paid for. And I would obviously love to be paid for my personal work, but, you know, like I said, that's just kind of a work in progress for a lot of artists, and like a really... You know, I would say that there's probably 1% of the artists in the world actually make art that they, you know, do for a personal hobby and make money doing that. So,
yeah, for sure. And I think like what's really just kind of like fucked up, I guess, is like, I don't know, at least historically, a lot of pieces like aren't worth like as much as they are till the guy's dead. And it's like, I don't know how that works or why that is, but. It's just like one of the things that's like, oh man, what a bummer. But anyways, yeah, like, I mean, yeah, well, just real quick though, like, I'll let you go on and stuff, but I just want to ask, like, so basically art is like you create, but it's also like this talent and skill, which is why you can get paid with like your work art. Is like, this is your skill anyways, so you can go ahead and like basically it's like you said you separated it, and it's like your main skill. So it's like you go to work and like, hey, it happens to be art, but then like you come back to your personal like work, and that's where you really like basically like do it with your heart. Is that more or less kind of what you mean in terms of like your emotional connection to the two different sides?
Yeah, like that's pretty much it. It's a lot of it's kind of, well, here's the thing, is that like all art kind of, you know, I think in a lot of ways kind of transcends throughout the different mediums and, you know, technologies and things they're using to create art. So let's say that I'm a really good I'm really good at drawing.
Yeah,
I'm really good at drawing.
You are, by the way.
thank you. but like hypothetically, you know, like if there's somebody who fundamentally is a good like pencil artist, they're probably also going to be a good digital artist, like in Photoshop, doing digital painting and things like that. So if you're a good acrylic painter traditionally, you can then transcend that to a digital format. So it kind of works the same way. I like to do hands-on sculpting. And so that really later, I didn't realize that like getting into digital sculpting and 3D modeling, that knowledge of traditional sculpting can totally transcend and easily be translated into a digital medium. So it kind of all, even though I'm not really typically, you know, enjoying this like digital art like that I'm doing for work and stuff, and the content might be irritating, I'm also still getting practice in stuff that I enjoy doing. It all kind of, you know, helps. It's all practice, really. But I would say that, yeah, like, back to what you said, that, you know, like, when I finish something that I like, really put my heart into and spent a lot of time on, and it was, like, something that I thought up was my idea and came out of me purely, I much more enjoy that and get a lot more satisfaction out of that than when my work, even though, sometimes my work comes out really well, like, for, like, you know, like, a job I'm doing, but it just doesn't have the same kind of feeling and emotion that goes along with that.
For sure. And I was going to ask you, like, which side do you like better, but I'm pretty much, you know, I'm going with you, like, you enjoy the personal side more. That's basically more or less what I was going to get after next.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay,
personal
for sure.
Side's a lot better.
Right on,
I
man.
Mean, the thing that's good about, like, the work stuff, too, though, is it really forces you out of your comfort zone. You see a lot of artists that get really locked down into doing one thing over and over again, and they do it really well, but they're not like a multi-dimensional artist, where I am almost on the far side of the spectrum as that, where I'm so spread out and do so many different things that it's almost like I'm like a jack of all trades but a master of none, kind of, I feel.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
Yeah.
So I hope I don't go to hell for this, but I always felt like that's what, like, Vincent van Gogh's problem was, like, his paintings. I mean, I've seen some of his sketches and his drawings, and for some reason, those are a lot more, like, diverse in, like, the way they look than his paintings, as far as the ones I've seen. And, like, a lot of painters and stuff that are famous, because I only really know the real famous ones, like Vincent van Gogh and Monet and Picasso. But, like, to me, I was never a big Picasso fan, just because everything I observed, like, it all reminded me of each other. And I think it's almost like what you mean, like, artists can get locked down in what they're comfortable with. So, hey, you want to real quick give maybe the name of your website?
Yeah, it's, let's see, it's the current one that I'm kind of in transition of a couple of them.
Okay.
And I actually just deleted the ratprints.com one because they charged me just like a ton of money recently for it, and I was like not using it hardly. But the one that I am most currently updating is it's ratprints LIIL.wordpress.com, and that's the one that I normally put kind of my more traditional personal stuff on. I also use Instagram, and it's just Instagram. So you just look up rat prints on Instagram. That's typically most recently where I put a lot of my work, just because it's more accessible to people. You know, I feel like I went for years without giving like a shit whatsoever about showing people my artwork.
Right.
And that's been a transition that I've gone through in the last few years. Part of it was going through school. You know, like, I really, really changed as an artist going through school, which is a really good thing. Not that I was, you know, I feel like gone awry before, but I used to just not care. You know, it was just like I was literally doing it for myself, and it just kind of stumbled, you know, I stumbled one day upon the idea that, like, I'm spending so much time of my life doing this, and I really, like, everybody has, like, a basic need in their life to want to, like, affect the world, and I wasn't expressing that need in any way. I was just kind of, like, harboring all this stuff, which is kind of what a lot of artists do, actually. You know, you find, like, that's actually, kind of back to what you were saying about artists being popular after they're dead, is because a lot of them don't show any, like, even a fraction of their work.
Oh, that's a good point. Never thought of
and
that.
So, you know, like, when you're dealing with, you know, you mentioned something about, you know, like, and just in a joke, obviously, is like, are you a psychopath because of, like, the stuff that you come up with, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
everybody's a little nuts, but you do typically see in artistic people that they're, you know, a little strange. And it's funny that you brought up Vincent van Gogh, because he was nuts.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know, didn't he cut off his ear or something? Isn't there some sort of thing? Hold on, man. Don't hold on. I'm still here. I'm just going to shout to the phone now, because now I'm on my computer trying to look up the story of Vincent van Gogh cutting off his ear. Because doesn't that ring a bell for you?
There's something about that, I think. I know my dad was recently reading this huge book about him, and basically what it was all these, like, letters that were found that he and his brother were sending back and forth over, like, a pretty long distance. And okay. It's just, like, just a total insight into Vincent Van Gogh's life of, like, what was going on. And, he never had any intention of becoming a painter whatsoever. I think he went almost his whole life without painting and then, like, just got into it randomly and never thought that he was a good painter at all. Just really an interesting dude. And you can tell by the letters that he's sending his brother that he's definitely, I don't know, maybe...
Is it like available in a book for purchase to like for those stories? Wait, how did you say you read it or something? Your dad has the book or something like that?
My dad has the book. Yeah, you can buy a book on him. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to research that. That sounds pretty crazy. Okay, but I found it. Vincent Van Gogh's ear. It says that is true, man.
Oh really?
It says that he cut his ear off and mailed it to a girl. Well, anyways. Yeah, but you're right though, no matter kind of what you do, everyone has a little. That's the thing. Like we don't know enough about everyone to know if they're crazy or not. And I know for me, like I'll just fucking admit it, dude. There are times where I'm definitely crazy, at least temporarily. You know, I go back, but like then again, it's like what's the definition of crazy? I don't even think it's a bad thing to be crazy. Number one, and the definition isn't so bad. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result—that's not even the worst thing in the world. So I have no problem with the word. And like, yeah. So like power to the artist for being crazy, man. Like that's pretty tight. And like,
yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying though, right?
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. I don't know. Like I've like grown up, I remember going to like even like middle school and high school, people would look at my drawings and be like, you know, cause I draw in class all the time and I was just, you know, hey, check this out guys. But like people, you know, people look over your shoulder and look at what you're doing and doodling and stuff. And they would always be like, yeah, you're really weird. And like,
yeah.
I grew up hearing that and I always like thought it was like, I got a sense of pride from that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But thinking about now, I'm like kind of looking at like what these people have like, after watching these friends that you're like forced to be in school with all these years and like looking at what they've gone and done now, I'm like, you guys are crazy. Like,
I feel
more normal than, you know, a lot of these people. Like, I can't believe like some of these people who are going to be accountants and things like that. I'm like, how do you do that? Like,
oh yeah,
I get
to
like, you know, I get to like go and, I mean, like I was saying, I was complaining about working at a computer, but I mean, working for the, you know, like if I'm working for the Monterey Bay Aquarium, making some cool vehicle thing, like it's like a childhood dream pretty much. You know, I can't really complain that much. Yeah, I'm on an assignment. I don't know if you want to get into like a little bit of like what
I
do.
I got time, man. This is, you know, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you can cut it up and say whatever you want.
Yeah, for sure. You
know. But so basically, I grew up doing only traditional art, and then do any digital stuff until I went to college, or a little bit prior, I guess. But I pretty much just explore any digital stuff, and then went to Sierra College for a little bit. And that's where I just got into Photoshop. That was like the entry level stuff. And I liked it, but, you know, didn't compare to like just drawing and painting and sculpting. And so my dad had told me that I would never like be able to go to an art school because they're just too expensive.
Who told you that?
And my dad.
Oh, well, okay.
You know, so it was kind of like, crap, like, what am I going to do now with my life? So I kind of went through I wouldn't call it quite a crisis period, but I was definitely like, okay, like, I got to figure something out, you know, like, I was thinking, like, all these things I could do. I was playing football still at the time for Sierra and kicking and hated it and, you know, kind of had almost given up a little bit on art for a little while there. I wasn't painting or drawing or doing anything. And started doing bad in school and, like, pretty much it was one semester where I wasn't doing very well and I got bad grades and then... kind of all of a sudden my dad was sort of like realizing I think what was going on maybe.
Okay.
And seeing that I was almost being like oppressed of like what I want, like what I naturally like not even like want to do but I have to do with my life, you know, it's almost like it's beyond like, it's almost like a need. Anyways, he you know, started to kind of talk to me about, you know, maybe going to Sac State or San Francisco State, you know, the art program. So I started researching that. And it's, like, impossible to get into. Like, you have to have way better GPA than I have and, like, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, crap. So I end up, long story short, spend the next, like, 3 years at Sierra getting straight A's in every single class except math, of course, which pretty much took me down. And so what happened was is I like totally got my GPA back up, just like turned all that around, and kind of just randomly stumbled across Expression Digital Art College through one of my dad's clients. Her daughter went to the school and really liked it. And so they, my dad came home and told me about it, and I went and checked it out, and I was like, whoa, this school looks sweet. Like, they have, like, a great facility, like, all this stuff, you know, and, like, we kept talking about it more, and it was, like, so, like, he was, like, warming up to the idea all of a sudden, and I was like, whoa, this is, nice. Like, really cool. And I think part of it was that he, like, finally saw that I was excited and had gotten my GPA back up, and pretty much, like, I'm going to try and, like, speed this up a little bit.
Take your time. Like, there's no rush, but, I mean, just whatever you need to do. It's all good.
So I went to the school, applied, got in, like, pretty easily. I mean, obviously, it's kind of it's a for-profit school, so I think at this point they are, you know, taking pretty much anybody. So, I mean, getting in was obviously rewarding, but, you know, like, whatever, they're going to take anybody. But I got in, and just like killed it. Like, I was graduated as valedictorian and like got straight A's the whole time, and like pretty much just like I never wanted to do school, never cared about school, and I just like once I like found like, you know, my calling or whatever, I was just like, yep, this is just, it wasn't hard, you know, it was just like, this is what I'm doing and it's easy and it makes sense, you know. So like,
oh, for sure,
you know, yeah. I wasn't doing math anymore, I didn't have to deal with stuff that just made zero sense to me, you know. So it was like, it was cool. Everything worked out really well.
I feel that, man. I know that emotion. I fucking really sucked at math too. I still do. And then I ended up taking like audio tech classes, man. And I slayed those because it was something you care about. It's a lot easier. It's a way different story. So
totally different.
So like, we're all glad that you know you found the place for you, and now you're doing your thing and working in the Monterey Bay Aquarium, man. It's pretty amazing, I have to say. So good job.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for the Monterey Bay Aquarium, it's just like a, it is a project that I'm like one of the, I'm one of the people working on it. It's not just like they're taking my designs. It's actually like they hired me to, design to actually build these 3D models of these vehicles. So they're like exact replicas of what they've, vehicles actually look like that are underwater, and it's just a visualization of those things so people can walk around. You know how you see those exhibits at those places and stuff.
Oh, totally, man. Like, I still think that's like pretty, I mean, they wouldn't be able to hire me to do that, you know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm speaking from, so I still think it's rad. So,
yeah,
I don't do. But, so I'm wondering personally if, like, there's some sort of story you'd be willing to share about the AKA Rat Prince thing. Like, I don't know. I know my audience is going to be wondering that too.
Yeah. I guess it's not that, like, crazy of a story, or, you know, there's really not much to it.
Okay.
What happened is I had a friend, we have these, like, four little, like, we have these four little dogs running around our house that are like always super dirty, and like they look like miniature dirty sheep that like run around, and like we live like, you know, out on some acreage, so I mean they're like always getting into stuff. And when my friend came over, he started calling like them the Rat Pack.
Oh.
One of them, like my dog, was like kind of like, he's like kind of the leader, I guess, of the group, the alpha, I guess.
For sure.
And he started calling him the Rat Prince. And then it just somehow just because he was my dog, it somehow became my name.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of thought it was a cool name. And so I just adopted it like years ago, and just stuck with it because I started kind of putting out all my artwork under that alias. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I work professionally for like companies like the Monterey Bay Aquarium or something like that, or, you know, whatever it is, I don't use that, obviously. That's just my personal like art alias that I go by. So.
That's cool, man. I think it's awesome. I think it works well with the branding, and I think it's really unique, and it's just everything fell together proper on that. But I wanted to say, I almost forgot, that ratprince.com website is up still, if you didn't know. I mean, I'm sure you knew that. You said you deleted it, but I mean,
I had them like, I had them like, I don't own the domain name anymore, so I mean, it's probably still up, but
up for sale or whatever. It's like someone could change it.
Somebody could take it, basically. Yeah.
Okay, right on. Yeah. But is the new one ready to go, or is it being worked on, the new website?
It's ready to go. The other one is like it's a WordPress, so it's like a blog, but it just like functions just like a website, and I just throw up all my artwork up there for people to see. Yeah.
No, for sure.
Again, though, like even that's not fully up to date. I would like, you know, if people want to check it out, I would definitely go check out like my Instagram. Is, you know, I have stuff that I've done in like, you know, the last like few months up there. So
for people who don't want to rewind the tape, can you say the new website again?
Yeah, it's Rapprint. LIIL.
Okay.
.wordpress.com. Yeah.
Right on, man. Yep. Well, I'm sure you're going to get a few hits out of this on that blog, so that's pretty sweet. And I don't know, probably wrap this up quick, but I just wanted to see if you had any maybe tips you could give any aspiring artists who want to get paid or, you know, get known.
If you want to get known for your personal art, just keep working at it a ton, and everything you do, just keep, like, really social media is, like, the way to get it out there right now. Mm-hmm. Even, like, the big artists, they all use social media to get their artwork out. So get an Instagram, use Facebook, you know, Tumblr, you know, whatever it is, and just keep posting your stuff up there. And, you know, I usually tell people don't, like, you know, I don't normally, like, go on, like, Instagram and hunt people down and, like, hey, follow me, or whatever, but, like, you know, just keep posting stuff, and, I mean, if it's good and people like it, they're going to follow you, so, I mean, take pride in what you're doing. If you want to make money doing it, realistically, I think that you should get into digital art, because almost nobody makes money doing traditional art, again, unless you're a rock star. So, you know, find a way to balance, like, your work art with your personal art. And that's, you know, in my experience, it's made me, you know, overall, like, really happy and content, and I love what I do.
Sweet.
I mean, it's like anything, it's a job still, so, you know, well, that's a downside, but that's my recommendation.
Well, I know we're all pulling for your art career as far as, like, getting your personal shit in exchange for money. I mean, honestly, like, that's what we're all trying to do, dude. I mean, it's unfortunate, but we fucking need money to carry on, and, you know, the dream
is very unfortunate.
Yeah. You know, the dream is, like, to make it work, and, like, no one, like, has any reason not to try to get that goal. You know what I'm saying? But basically, how, I mean, are you doing the t-shirt thing still? Are those still for sale or what? How do we get one?
Yeah, I make them by order right now. When I first started making them, I just made a bunch of them and then realized I had, like, a bag full of them that I was, like, moving around constantly. So what I do is, like, I have all the, like, equipment to make it now. So if anybody wants one, I just ask them what size they want, and that's how, you know, just let me know. I usually just give people, like, mailing address or something, and then they can, like, you know, email me, and I'll just send them to them. But, yeah, I make them per order, so.
So, like, they send you a check, you send them a shirt kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also have an Etsy. Again, it's just Rapprint. Go on Etsy, look up Rapprint, all one word.
And that works. They just buy it straight from there, and it gets shipped, like, simple?
Yep, that's the easiest way. Just use Etsy.
Etsy, Rapprints on, Rapprints on Etsy, etsy.com.
Yep.
All right, sweet. And you got, like, whatever sizes, or are there limits on that? Like, maybe XL, or I don't know. I don't know how the shirt business works. Ah.
Yeah, it's there's really no limit.
Okay, tight.
I mean, if you want a tall tee of it, I'm probably going to tell you no. But
sweet, man. Well, I'm glad I'm not going to be seeing any Space Wizard tall tees anytime soon.
Yeah, there's going to be a... right now, they're just, like, normal, like, t-shirts. Like, there aren't, like, a girl version, really. And
girls don't need them. No, special t-shirts, you know.
I don't make art for girls.
we're just joking,
I'm
women.
I'm a little boy at heart. I'm just, like, drawing tanks and monsters.
No doubt.
But there is going to be, like, a girl, you know, version of the shirt. So, you know, I think I'm going to do some tank tops and, you know, just have, like, an actual girl-fitting shirt rather than just some, you know, baggy boy shirt. So.
Yeah, that's very appropriate, and I'm sure there are women out there who like the Space Wizard logo are going to highly appreciate that. So
yep.
Works for everyone. Which, by the way, that Space Wizard shirt, that's really cool. I was looking at it in detail today. It looks like the Egg of the King. Maybe one of these days, go on Google Images and just type in the Egg of the King. And I think if you don't know about it already, you might find yourself interested in the artwork that it'll pop up for you, because
okay.
it's pretty sweet. So
yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, man. Shit, what else, man? I think I'm good here, man. What's the easiest way to get a shirt from you? Just like talk to you through Facebook and get it done, or what?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Perfect.
That's totally fine. Again, like if you want to go on Etsy, it's like really like it's easily set up. You just like put in like your credit card number or something like that, and then you can fill out your billing address or mailing address or whatever, and it'll just do that all for you. So I just know exactly where to ship it to.
All right. Well, sweet, man. Well, I'm going to pick one up one way or the other. I think they're cool.
Yeah, and I actually have an XL ready to go. So.
Oh, nice, nice, yeah.
Yep.
Wonderful, man. Well, thanks again for doing this with me, man.
Yeah, of course.
It's going to be a good one, and hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, man. Sounds good. Thanks for doing it as well. I appreciate the interest, and, you know, it's always good when somebody acknowledges your artwork, you know.
Absolutely, man. All right, well, have a great rest of your day, Jared.
All right, man. You do the same. Okay. Thanks, Dylan.
Bye.
All right, bye.
What a nice and polite young man he was. Thanks, Jared. Okay, ratprints, LIL.wordpress.com. I'm on the site right now. Give the listeners a quick rundown of what I'm seeing here, because I'm seeing a lot of stuff on the ratprints site. There's that cool LIL logo. I don't even know if it's really LIL. Or if that's the best way to basically replicate this little logo with just keyboard keys. But it reminds me of the Black Flag logo, so I like it automatically. Okay, we got videos on this thing. Literal photographs of examples of work. Music video. Let's see here. Camera by Rat Prince for this music video. So he does camera work too. Wow. There's some good stuff on this. Definitely get over here on the site. You probably like, it's going to be the only thing you see like this all day. What's over here? Categories? Are you kidding me? Categories? When am I going to make it that far in life? I get a website with categories. 3D models, cinematography, compositing, concepts, design, digital, doodles, which is probably means doodles, environments, headdresses, homeless astronaut. That's its own category. I'm a fan. Okay, I'm going to click on headdresses. What does that even mean? Are there going to be like hats made out of fruit on this page? What the fuck? Okay. It looks like it's crazy drawings of, like, headdresses. That's exactly what it is. But they're sick as a mofo. Goodness gracious. Yeah, get on this site. Look at the drawings of these headdresses that are just out of control. I don't even... There's no word for it, ladies and gentlemen. I can't even say anything about it. There's not a word doesn't exist for this. There's other... Okay, after headdresses. Homeless astronaut. Illustration. Miscellaneous. Music videos. Paintings. Practical work. School work. Sculpture. Totems. Uncategorized. That's probably a fun category. I'm going to that one. Oh, fuck yeah. That's a sick-ass shirt. Alright, I'm looking at one. Whoa. That one's like... I don't know if I want to look at that any longer. That's making me uncomfortable. I think I'm going to wrap it up here, dietitians. Thank you, as always, for joining me for the Strange Diet broadcast. Definitely appreciate that you show up for the show. Validate my life for about a half an hour every week. Hopefully I do something for you along the way. If you haven't figured it out yet, obviously the honorable mention of the show is the Rat Prince, of course. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I have to get in before I get out of town here. Oh, yeah, come back in a week because Dr. Cody, like I said, is going to be with us. You're going to love it, I promise. And enjoy the shit out of your day.
Thank you for supporting Strange Diet Broadcast. Please use the email address strangedietfuture@gmail.com to contact the show and when writing in for surveys taken. Please use this email address to leave questions, comments, and concerns about the show. And remember, whatever you say might make it onto the air.